and welcome to that show. You should know what show by now if you're still listening. All 14 of you, apparently. It's WonderPod. That's right, WonderPod. Episode 33. I am joined this week, as always, by Gunsage and the Ohio State.
Yeah, there we go.
You didn't let me finish. I was going to say, in the Ohio State marching band, the entire stadium, and whoever they're fucking playing. anyways, you people won't get that joke. This show is starting out brilliantly. Also joined by future boy, Patrick.
What is going on, people? WonderPod episode 33. I have a secret, but I can't tell.
Yes, we've all been sworn to secrecy. Gunsage, tell us what you've been playing this week.
I really haven't been playing very much. I played through Scott Pilgrim another few more times, and I think I played Shank one more time, got annoyed with the boss, switched off. Mafia 2 for a little bit, got annoyed because the checkpoints are garbage, switched it off. That's literally about it.
Checkpoints in this day and age are fucking stupid. But we won't get into that. I've done that rant enough times on this show. But I hear you. If the checkpoints are stupid, why keep playing? Why annoy yourself? Patrick, I know you're limited due to secrecy and CIA-like activities up there in Canada.
That's right.
But what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing quite a few games and quite a few new things, which, as you say, I can't really talk about. Let's just say a company rich enough to buy all of Canada would cut my testicles off if I start talking about it. Aside from that, on the PC, I went back. I played a little bit more of that Super Mario Brothers crossover. It was more fun the first time I played it, but whatever. It's free. On the Xbox 360, a lot of stuff I can't talk about, but I did play the demos for Shank and for Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, two Xbox Live Arcade titles, both of them kind of side-scrolling brawlers. The first one, Scott Pilgrim, I didn't buy it, but it's pretty good. I mean, it's good if you're really into the old-school 8-bit games. It's a tribute to that. It's got the old-school sound effects and graphical effects, and it's pretty fun. It's $10, I think, so it's not bad. If you're into that, you probably like it. Shank, on the other hand, I think is $15, but it's much more quote-unquote modern. Very bloody, almost reminds me of one of those Desperado movies or whatever. They're really cool game. Again, I didn't buy it. I was thinking about it, but due to other things coming to me for free, I decided not to. What else have I been playing? On Nintendo, not much. The Wii's still broken, and it doesn't matter anymore. And let's see what else. On the,
and you're fucking worried about me.
What?
And you're
anything.
Excuse me, I'm going to throw you under the goddamn bus. It's like, Jesus.
Anyway. Anyhow, and on the Nintendo DS, I've just gone back and played a little more of the new Super Mario Bros., the good one, not the Wii version, which kind of sucked. So that's about all that I can tell people about that I've been playing this week.
My week sucked. It just sucked. I played the Super Mario crossover game, and I actually like that. I do best with Ryu. Although I found out in the intervening years my Super Mario Brothers skills have gone to shit. So I can't warp ahead on worlds or I'll get my ass kicked. Beyond that, it's not so much what I played as what I did while playing. Let's see. To start off, I think I may have inadvertently destroyed a World of Warcraft guild, thus ending my current foray into World of Warcraft. Amazingly enough, it was due to anger, but for once in my stinking worthless existence, it was actually due to justified anger, and I really have no apologies to make for it. After we're done recording here, I will check in, but I think the guild that I was in is pretty much toast. I still like World of Warcraft. I'll probably still play it from time to time. And then I attempted to play Xbox Live with certain people who shall remain nameless. Unfortunately, we had to use carrier pigeons to communicate unless we played one game. So Xbox Live was kind of a mixed bag. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Oh, that's all I'm going to say about Xbox Live. Hopefully that shenanigans will be ending here in another month or two. I did download Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I do not like 8-bit music. I do not like side-scrolling brawlers normally. But after my first foray into it, I was just going to come on here and say nothing. Because the last thing I need is a mad mob of Scott Pilgrim fans beating me to death. There's plenty of people that are willing to do that for them. So just before the show recorded, I decided I'd go through it again. Ran through the first level a second time, actually started to enjoy it, started to get a little more comfortable with it, started to realize that if I just sit there and work with it, maybe I'll finally really, truly enjoy a side-scrolling brawler. As a tribute to the old-school 8-bit games, it's excellent at that. It's a good game. As I said last week, I'm not a huge fan of Scott Pilgrim. Really didn't know who the hell he was. The only thing I want to take a moment to talk about that pisses me off about this game is right at the beginning of it, there's this fake FBI logo, spoilers, and now you can fuck off, with basically preaching to me that I should be vegan. Excuse me? I do not need preaching in my video games. I don't need, I'm being told, actually no, but I don't care, Gunsage, I don't want it in my comic. Don't be giving me this shit, veganism, all that baloney. It's horseshit. I don't care if you're a vegan. I just don't want to hear about it. I'm being told all this stuff in text chat, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm absolutely wrong and Robert, and it's an in-joke. I don't care. I don't want to see it. It's ridiculous. Stupid. I don't care if it's an in-joke. I thought it was dumb. And it kind of irritated me. So my whole week of gaming has been nothing but irritants. Most of them not anybody's fault particularly, but it just hasn't been. It's probably been the worst week in gaming for me for about a year. And as you can tell, between the three of us, we really haven't been playing shit. We're all waiting, saving every last dime we can for the end of this month, next month, and November. So games we've been playing for the next couple weeks might be rather sorry. Okay, that's what we've been playing. We're moving on to listener questions and our first question. We have a Facebook question from Puppet Boy. And I'm calling him that this week. Yeah, I'm calling him that this week because I've forgotten his name. But why don't you read us? Yes, yes.
Okay, guys. This is a relatively new question here on Facebook. His alter ego, the crazy ass Scruffy, is the one actually asking the questions here. So anyway, Scruffy told me to ask you guys this, in quotes. Why do nerds feel the need to create some kind of logical chronology to the Zelda games? The best policy, as far as me, Scruffy, is concerned, is to just play each Zelda game as a standalone title that has the necessary elements to be considered a Zelda game. There's even more to it. Wow. This policy would decrease the frequency of Zelda nerd head explosions by a factor of 20. So,
Let's stop right there. Who cares? If fanboy nerds' head are exploding, that's a win as far as I'm concerned, but still worthy question to answer. Okay, I'll shut up now.
Oh, there's this question. Who wants to take a first shot at it? Gunsage?
I will attempt to. Okay, so if we're going to start going ahead and relating the Zelda games, then we also have to start relating everything else. So let's start trying to go ahead and make up reasons why Mario is able to go ahead and find a dinosaur in Mario World, but not in Super Mario Bros. 1 through 3, but then certain power-ups he never gets again. Oh, and also, Mega Man seems to lose power-ups with each iteration as well. Oh, and so does Samus Aran, for that matter. In fact, it doesn't make any sense, the Samus timeline either, because ultimately, they keep on going ahead and rebooting it in such a way that the second and third ones are technically connected, but after that it starts to get blurry. How does the pinball game work into it? In fact, for that matter, how does Mario Tennis figure into that? How does Mario Golf figure into that? Oh, for fuck's sake. If we start going ahead and making Zelda games that are like Zelda Golf, Zelda fans will blow their shit, because they'll be like, well, you see, this happened in between Zelda 1 and Zelda 2. There's a brief time whenever he started going ahead and getting into sports and stuff. Yeah, that's the ticket. It doesn't fucking matter. They're pretty much all the same anyway, and even the ones that aren't, it doesn't matter. Who cares if there's a continuation? Final Fantasy doesn't have a continuation. Dragon Warrior doesn't have a continuation. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, I was unaware that anybody was trying to link them chronologically until this question came up there, David. So I'm with Guns Age. Really? I never looked at it. I see more of a continuing story in Final Fantasy than I ever did in Zelda, and I've played most of Zeldas. So this is news to me, but it's fandom. You're not going to stop it. You can only hope to contain it, hopefully in a rubber room. Patrick, you got something to add to this?
Well, first of all, I love the Zelda games, as do many people, but I don't obsess over it so much that if there's some problem in the continuum that I blog about it or ask people questions about it. I know IGN did a very impressive chronology, I can't even say the word anymore, of the timeline, and to try to explain it, I have no idea. You should check it out on IGN. I know one thing, there's a split that happens during, Oracana of Time, where it splits the timeline into two separate things. That's all I know, but, because when he returned as a kid at the end of Orcana of Time, it set the history into a different direction. So it's really hard, and I don't even think that Mr. Scruffy here cares. I think he's more, like he said, he's more interested in playing the games as they are, as standalone titles. Like he said, it would decrease the frequency of nerd head explosions if we just took them each as separate games. So that didn't really answer his question, but I do know IGN has a feature on it if you want to look it up. It is very confusing.
Are we even going to touch his other M question, or should we just refer him to the various and sundry reviews, because I haven't played it?
I actually haven't played it yet. Scruffy wants to know if he should give a shit about Metroid Other M. Gunsage, what do you have advice for Scruffy?
Well, it's a Metroid game. At the very least, I do want to try it. But I've heard some pretty mixed things about it, which is kind of strange because the fans are getting what they want, a side-scrolling 3D Metroid, and now everyone wants to go ahead and blubberly whine about it. That's cute.
Here's the thing I'll tell him. It's Team Ninja. What I've noticed about most Team Ninja games, you either love them or hate them. And I think that's where the mixed reviews and all that are coming in, is it's being done by Team Ninja. And then there's also the fact that Gunsage alluded to, that no matter what they try and do, once it's a beloved franchise like that, people are going to bitch, piss, and complain. My advice would be to rent it, if you can find a place to rent it. Patrick, got anything to add?
Interesting, because like you said, it is Team Ninja. It is not Nintendo, although Nintendo worked with them. So personally, I like Team Ninja. I love the Ninja Gaiden games. Dead or Alive was titillating. But I like Metroid. So for me, I'm going to check it out. As we know from previous episodes, I destroyed my sensor bar, so I won't be checking it out for a while. But I really think it depends on if he really likes the old school 2D gaming. A lot of people are saying that it's not the same, even though they went into that style. I think a lot of the hardcore fanboys, they're just upset that Nintendo didn't make it. If Nintendo made this, they probably would have liked it, but somebody else made it. Then there's another group of people who really like it. I think if you take it just as an action game with some pretty cool cutscenes and not a Metroid game, you'll enjoy it a lot. I'd say check it out. I haven't yet, but I will in the future.
Our next question comes to us from Alan Parker, formerly of the Morphine Nation, whatever you want to say. It's an MMO question, and while he kind of aimed this at Gunsage, Gunsage has said, when it comes to Final Fantasy XIV, what were your exact comments when it comes to Final Fantasy XIV, Gunsage?
Oh, you mean Final Fantasy XI or XII or EverQuest or Asheron's Call or other games I'm not interested in, right?
There we go. And Patrick doesn't wander into the RPG realm. He's too busy on top secret stuff. So I will answer Mr. Parker's question, but his question is, haha, I thought I wasn't going to say it, did you, folks? Question for the next WonderPod. With Final Fantasy XIV releasing in a month, what should WoW do to keep up with the modern age of MMO? Blizzard can't keep releasing expansions. Perhaps they could do an overhaul of the graphics to keep up. Yeah, there's been, I don't know, at least two or three, EverQuest 2, a couple others, in the RPG fantasy realm that have tried to take down World of Warcraft with its current graphics package and haven't done it. I don't think Blizzard needs to do a damn thing. Release the Cataclysm expansion, keep the graphics package the same, which I don't see as being that outdated. It's the Warcraft universe. It still kind of fits the World of Warcraft universe. You know, from Warcraft 2 on up, it kind of is just, that's the universe. The graphics aren't that bad. I mean, no, they're not Final Fantasy 13 graphics on the PS3, but they're not that bad. I'll be curious to see how this MMO does. I don't give two screaming shits about it. I'm not that invested in the Final Fantasy universe, so it doesn't really matter to me, but I'll be curious to see how it does. The one I think that might take a chunk out of World of Warcraft players, because there's enough crossover nerds, is, as we've talked about, as I've given Patrick a ton of shit about, is the BioWare Star Wars MMO. But really, Blizzard is kind of locked in its fans. And then, of course, you have the ones that play on the Evil Free servers. You know, so I don't think World of Warcraft's going to see that big a hit, Alan. I could be wrong. Maybe I will be wrong. Competition's always a good thing. But right now, I just don't see Final Fantasy XIV being that one that does it. We'll have to wait and see when it finally launches. I know the open beta is right now. If any of you fine listeners want to, you know, take an opportunity to play the beta, I know it's in the open stage at the moment. So hopefully that answered your question. You didn't get the whole crew because you saw Gunsage's disinterest. Patrick, anything to add? Anything at all?
You pretty much hit it right on the head there. I think the only real threat to WoW is going to come next year in the form of the Star Wars MMO that a lot of people are going to be interested in that. To answer his question, like you guys know, I'm the least interested in these types of games. Just like you said, I agree with you, Bruce. I don't think WoW needs to do anything. They have almost a captive audience of obsessed gamers, and their only threat comes in the form of Star Wars next year.
It's going to make me quit playing WoW. If I can actually pony up whatever they ask for per month, I will be playing the Star Wars MMO. Unless I hear something ridiculously bad about it, but it's BioWare. I tend to think they'll do a pretty good job with it. They're a good studio to take on Blizzard and at least make them stagger a little bit. They may not knock WoW off of its feet, but, you know, I think that's going to be its competition. We'll see. The Final Fantasy XIV, I don't know. They had another Final Fantasy MMO that found a decent niche audience, so we'll see. Finally, we, of course, have another installment. On top of those already fine listener questions, we have another installment from Spaceman G, who is transmitting right now.
WonderPod security interface detection online. External message probe detected. System analysis detects sender G. Data analyzed. Prepare for audio playback.
Cosmonaut G signing in for another episode of WonderPod. Patman, Bruce, the Gunsage, I hope this comes to you all in good health. Analysis on the asteroid is becoming a little more complicated. It seems that an alien presence has been detected. Being a total pussy, I've decided to hide in my ship and not even bother to leave. I've been telling JCC that I've encountered the enemy on numerous occasions and managed to collect samples for him. I gotta stop lying. With that being said, I'm well known amongst my friends in Calgary not to be much of a fan of Guitar Hero Rock Band Ellipse, DJ Hero, and whatnot. My rationale is not that these games are bad per se, rather that they emulate things that I do in real life. Thus, I can't really justify spending my time or money, for that matter, emulating something that I should actually be spending time doing, like playing the guitar and so forth. I was wondering what you guys think about these titles, and if you're fans or not, and why. If you are a fan, what particular upcoming feature or band's music are you most looking forward to? Or, if you're not a fan, what in particular turns you off these games? And what features or things could be introduced that might make you change your mind? Alright. Back to hiding in my space pod. That four-armed thing out there is kind of fucking weird looking.
Audio signal complete.
Wait, Cosmonaut G. He mentions an alien presence has been detected on his asteroid. I hope it's friendly. Anyways, back to your question. Let's see, Rock Band and Guitar Hero. Well, honestly, I'm not a big fan of these types of games. I'm not the biggest music fan in general, let alone video game music fan. But I'm thinking if I ever wanted to really play an instrument aside from the tuba that I attempted to play in grade 7, until I found a half-eaten ham sandwich inside it one day, I would probably play the real thing and not a game. That's just me personally. I know that this genre is full of great fans of both fake and real instrumental music, and for a lot of people, it doesn't matter. I guess if it helps one kid become interested in the real musical instruments or bands, and it helps promote music, then, you know, that's cool. But what particularly turns me off these games, as you asked, is the image of a half-eaten ham sandwich in my grade 7 tuba, all smelly and wet, I think. That's what turns me off. What feature or things could be introduced that might change my mind? Well, not much, really. I just don't like the games. Maybe naked, big-breasted women or something. That's all I can think of. I don't think I'll ever care about these games, and it looks like with all the oversaturation in this market, I think there's a lot of people getting sick of them. So, personally, I'm not a big fan of them.
Gutsage, your shot.
It depends. I cannot dance for the life of me. However, I really love Dance Dance Revolution. I cannot play a guitar. I've never even attempted to play a guitar. I did like Guitar Hero for a little while. Karaoke Revolution was something that I had fun with, too. But then I did do karaoke every so often, so that's neither here nor there. I kind of look at it and I go, to each their own. With Guitar Hero, it was something that I enjoyed for a little while. Never really hopped into Rock Band because I was like, well, I'm not even playing Guitar Hero, so what's going to really provide incentive for me to get a goddamn drum kit and play it for more than, like, a few months? Same deal with DJ Hero. I'm like, well, you know, that's interesting, but I don't even know if I would like it or not because I've never done anything like that ever at all. And even in the event that I liked it, what, I'm going to play it for a few months and then I'm going to put it down. And nobody else around here is going to play it, so that'll be a big waste of fucking money. I think it's fun as far as a niche kind of thing. It'll probably stick around for a while now that we're using, like, you know, similar to life instruments and things of that nature. But it's one of those where you really have to decide from the get-go, am I going to be using this for an extended period of time, or is this going to be one of those, I'll enjoy it for a little while, and then I'll put it down and never pick it up again?
Here's the interesting thing, G. I don't play these games. First off, the cost was prohibitive. And now every time I think about picking up one used, I don't know which ones to pick up. And I have a sense of rhythm. I love music. I never had the patience to learn to play music. I understood that at a very early age. Although I did attempt to learn drums in grade 5, as you Canadians would call it. And then drums in grade 5 and trumpet in grade 4. I never found a sandwich in my fucking tuba or my trumpet. But so while I've never actually played music, I have an appreciation of music. And I like what Rock Band does. It gives people that like to play air guitar when they're listening to music that they really feel and get and understand and love. It gives them that opportunity to fake it and not have to spend the hours and hours and hours that it takes to learn a real instrument. So I kind of understand that, and there's a market for it. And maybe at some point I'll pick up one of them used. But here was the thing I found funny. When I was going through these questions for you, Spaceman G, and for those of you listeners that don't know, Spaceman G is a very talented artist. I've listened to quite a bit of his music. He's helped me in creating some very crappy but yet passable music for WonderPod here that you hear every week. I thought this was going to be the why don't they go get a real instrument and stop playing video games question. And for a second there, I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to say to this? Because I hate those people. I hate musicians who go, oh, I don't know why in the hell you're doing that. You should pick up a real fucking guitar. Well, yeah, I want to spend the years and years it takes to learn to play a real guitar when all I really want to do is take my air guitaring to the next level. It's like telling somebody that plays first-person shooters, hey, why don't you go shoot at other people randomly going down the street? You know, I mean, it's just, so I'm glad that this was your question, G. It really allowed me to dodge a bullet, but then at the same time, knowing you as I do, I thought you'd find it amusing that I had that thought for a split second until I'd read the question fully. Even if you do entertain that thought, I kind of understand where guys like that are coming from, but at the same time, I don't think it's necessary to be a dick. It's just one of those deals. And hopefully, man strapped to an asteroid up there in space, we answered your questions. Hopefully you're not going to start throwing space rocks at my house after I said that. And all right, time for the discussion topic. And this week's discussion topic, it's a four-parter, gentlemen, so try to be brief if you can. This comes to us from our very own Patrick. It comes from what we did last week, the fall preview blowout. Here's his question. Last week, we previewed many of the games that will be coming out in the months of September, October, and November. The train wreck that followed, although entertaining for our listeners, we hope, surprised us as we discovered an absolute massive amount of high-quality games all coming out very close to each other. So our discussion topic this week is as follows, with several parts. Haha, I wasn't supposed to read that, apparently. Okay, number one. Just count the number of games we discussed last week that you want to buy. If you have unlimited resources and time to play them... Patrick, this question makes no sense.
What's that? Sure it does. If you have unlimited time and resources to play them. The games you want, if you had... It's not
Okay. Then take it away. You heard the question.
Okay. So, basically, I got about 10 games from last week that if I had unlimited time and unlimited money that I would really want to buy. I'm not going to list them all, but games like Halo Reach, Kirby, Donkey Kong, Country Returns, GoldenEye, games like that. And at $55 each, that's about $550 to $600 worth of video games in the next 3 months.
Gunsage, what's your total?
I am totaling it now. It will probably be over 10 games.
Oh.
Yeah. I've got some of the same ones like Donkey Kong Country Returns and Kirby's Epic Yarn, but then I also have stuff like Dead Rising 2, Castlevania, Fallout New Vegas, just different stuff like that. Basically, I really have no idea what I'm going to be able to buy or when I'm going to be able to buy. I think it'll just come down to what comes out when, you know, like the exact date, not just the month. I will try to get like a game a month, but I'm probably going to need to ensure that I have a job first. That's the biggest pain in the ass.
For me, it's looking in the 10 to 12 range. So we're talking $600 to $720 somewhere in that neighborhood. I have three that I want to get, and this is going to be the time where I finally announce dun, dun, dun. My decision on Halo Reach, and it is as follows. If, after Patrick gets back from his vacation and has his copy, I see the following people playing Reach: G the Spaceman, Patrick the Future Boy, and Glacinator the College Boy, then I will go down to GameStop and pick up a copy of Halo Reach. That does not mean that if I think the single player sucks, I'm going to not come on here and slaughter it. So, you Halo fanboys aren't in the clear. It may be a bad thing that I pick up this game. But that is kind of my condition. So, Halo Reach, barring anybody falling out of not getting it that I want to play with, that's pretty much a certain. COD Black Ops, certain. Medal of Honor, certain. If for no other reason than to tell EA that people are paying attention and that they like what they were doing. Dead Rising, for sure. Civ 5 for sure. You know, I mean, I'm already at what, 5 games. So, I mean, you know, it's going to get pretty crazy, folks. That's just, I can't remember all the games we talked about. So yeah, I'm forgetting some, but I bet it's in the 10 range that I'd like to have on release date. Okay. The next part of the question, and I'm actually going to sum this up a little bit and change it a little bit. So my apologies to Patrick. His question is, do you gentlemen believe that there can be too much of a good thing in the industry when the number of high-quality releases outnumber both your wallet and your free time. My addendum to that would be, when is the industry going to figure out that you have a whole calendar year? And that if the game's good enough, you don't need to cram it into the holiday season hoping for the best. All right, Patrick, take it away.
Well, it's been years, and I don't know why. They just think that they have to throw it all in this final quarter of the year. It drives me crazy. I think that we are very much being spoiled and that we're going to miss out on great games that are not, say, not the big, huge, epic ones or overhyped ones. You know, I say there's too much of a good thing. I think back to my favorite time, probably in my quote-unquote gamer's life, and those were the Nintendo 64 days for me, believe it or not, you know? And I had to wait months, sometimes 2 months or even 3 months, between big-name Nintendo games and Rareware games. And I still think that that was the best time in games for me, you know? So I really think that having 10 must-have games in less than 3 months, plus other ones that I probably shouldn't mention that have suddenly maybe come into the equation in the month of November. It's just too much of a good thing. And I really wish, like you said there, Bruce, on the other part of the question, I really wish they would spread it out over the year.
Yeah, that wasn't so much as a question either, but it's something I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
So that in case you guys hadn't been thinking it, because it's ridiculous.
I agree.
Gunsage, your thoughts?
Well, Red Dead Redemption. Now, I say that mostly because, Jesus Christ, what did that come out with, like, three other things or some shit like that? And it was the one that people wanted, and it wasn't during a time when people normally buy games. So it was one of those things where, yeah, the other games that came out were good, but because Red Dead Redemption was a big spicy boner, ultimately everyone wanted that one, and they didn't really consider much of anything else that came out at the same time. Not to say that they didn't get sales, but it kind of trumped them. I think they should spread them out. I kind of like what Atlas did the other year, except I think they needed to be more spread out, where they literally released, like, fucking, I think, 3 games a month for 4 months in a row or some ridiculous shit like that. In general, they should be more spread out, just because I understand that market-wise, it makes more sense to have it near the end of the year for the holiday season and shit, but Jesus Christ, like you were saying, if it's a good game, it's going to stand on its own one way or the other, and it'll stand out because it won't be, you know, coming out with so many other games at the same time. Competition is good and all, but when the game prices are going up and now you have the Kinect and the PlayStation Move and everything else to worry about, well, I mean, you're looking at both a peripheral and a game war. So it's kind of a pain in the ass, especially for the consumer.
You know, industry, you really need to start paying attention to the fact that there's a full calendar year. And there are 2 games I'm going to give you, one of which I'm pretty sure didn't come out during the crush. Battlefield 2 and Red Dead Redemption. Both of those did not come out during the holiday season. Both of them did fine. Yes, as Gunsage pointed out, there were some that got crushed. Excuse me. I apologize. There are some that got crushed by Red Dead Redemption, but that's going to happen. Learn to spread the games out. If COD Black Ops had come out, you know, in August or July or whatever, I would have still bought it. If Medal of Honor had come out in March, I still would have bought it. I'm being held hostage by Halo, so we won't talk about that one. But it's really kind of stupid. You have 4 quarters in a year, business-wise, and you have 365 calendar days, and you can't get this shit figured out. It's going to bite you. I'm telling you right now. It's going to bite you. Now, can I please have a job on Wall Street as an analyst? Because from what I've seen, most of them are fucking morons. Okay, let's move on to the... Well, did you see Idiot Boy's latest prognostication?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, fucking thanks, Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
Dumb shit. Okay, what do you plan on doing in the next 3 months to deal with the high costs that will come with all these great titles? Patrick, take it away.
All right, well, I think there's only one solution here to be able to pay for all these games that we talked about. I'm going to buy some Viagra, and head over to the nearest sperm donor clinic and spunk out most massive load of my man love in the clinic's history. You know, they might have to close down for a few weeks due to my oversupply, but all I have to do is think about playing Halo Reach online and Donkey Kong Country Returns on my Wii, and I'm sure I'll be able to produce a massive money shot, if I dare say that. I hear they pay as well. They pay well per cup, so it's going to be a lot of cups. I don't know. I think that's what I'm going to have to do to pay for it.
You're one sick puppy if you can fantasize about Halo and Donkey Kong Country and
at the same time.
It just in general makes my fetish for midgets seem almost tame by comparison. God sage, take it away.
Previously on Prison Break. Michael, I'm trapped in a GameStop. You're going to have to break me out. Why can't you just walk out the front door? Because I seem to be inexplicably attached to 15 different games that I must have. You're going to have to break me out, Michael. That's pretty much the best case scenario. Oy.
Mine involves a three-part plan. First, I'm going to gather up all the neighborhood children who can't seem to stay out of my way when I'm going to work in the morning waiting for the bus. I am going to force them to mow people's lawns and then give me the money. Second, I'm going to prostitute out my horse. He has no say in the matter. And the best part is I don't have to worry about mad owners with their mares getting pregnant because he's castrated. Third and finally, I'm going to prostitute myself out. I'm betting the horse makes more money, but it doesn't matter. Every dime counts at this point. This is getting fucking ridiculous. So right now, I've just broken. Oh, and by the way, my horse will be open for bestiality, horse on female. So, you know, he'll pretty much do whatever I tell him to. Considering some of his vet bills from earlier this year, they're going to allow me not to buy some games. He's damn well going to do what I tell him to. So there you go. I mean, it's that ridiculous. White slavery is starting to sound like a good idea. Just start selling off random people to the Taliban or something. Oops. Oops, did I say that? Oh, no, controversy.
You can't say Taliban.
No. Glenn Beck's going to be so far up my ass, I'll be tasting his dental work, the stupid fucker. Okay. And the final part of Patrick's discussion topic. In the face of all the competition that will be going on for gamers' money, do you think that some of these titles would have been better off delayed to a later release date? Also, pick one title that you think is going to get hammered because it's getting released right now or in the next 3 months. Patrick, take it away.
Well, I think that definitely, you know, just like we were saying, there's no way we can buy all these games. Even if we could, there's no way we have time to play all these damn games. Imagine if you had all three systems and you were an active PC gamer. It would be impossible. I think there's a few games that would have done better if they've not been released in such a competitive window. I even think Medal of Honor is a bad idea. That's the one I should focus on, I think. I really think that Medal of Honor, because it's going to be the third big first-person shooter out the gate, and it's going to be behind both Call of Duty and Halo Reach.
No, it's not.
It's not? Oh, I thought it was coming out. Oh, is it coming out before?
Halo comes out the 14th.
Uh-huh.
Medal of Honor comes out in October.
Oh, does it? Nice.
COD Black Ops comes out in November. Well, it's almost impossible to keep them straight, so wow. Nobody's blaming you. Anyway, sorry.
Well, so much for that idea.
Yeah.
I still think Medal of Honor probably is going to suffer. Just name recognition. I mean, I know it was big amongst PC gamers, but here on the consoles, even just the so-called casual guys who go out and buy one or two games a year, those one or two games are Madden, Halo, and Call of Duty. I'm not sure if Medal of Honor is going to make it. I hope it does, because at least it's, you know, competition. Other than that, I don't know. Probably something like Kirby or something like that that's really cool is probably going to be overlooked through this massive pile of games.
Gensage.
Okay. Here's what I think is not going to work. Just because of all the games that are coming out. I'm not saying because they're bad or whatever. First thing is Vanquish. We haven't heard enough about it. It looks to be a generic space shooter, and I haven't tried the demo yet, so I guess I'm not giving it enough credit. You know, it's unfounded, basically, based on nothing so far. But literally, unless the demo blows me away, I'll probably just end up with a rental of it anyway. You know? Second thing is, I don't think GoldenEye is going to do very well, because as much as people have been whining and bitching, me included, that they want it, it's on the Wii. So that's already a minus. And as far as I can tell, it's a little more than just a glorified remake. I really don't see any reason to go ahead and buy it, given that I beat GoldenEye too many times to count for the Nintendo 64, and I really don't play with anyone on the Wii anyway, so it's going to be a little strange, given that it's coming out for the Wii and not for something else. I do not think Assassin's Creed Brotherhood will do well, mostly because it's coming out in November, just like with GoldenEye, so now I know it's not going to do well. But also because it's not a new Assassin's Creed. It's going to be based off of Assassin's Creed 2, a Gaiden of sorts. It could be good. I'm not saying it won't be good. I'm just saying it's not Assassin's Creed 3. It's not taking the next logical step. It's just going to be more of the same. Let's see, what else? Only the diehard people are really going to give a shit about Rock Band 3, and they'll probably put that off anyway because of everything else that's coming out in October. I don't really see NBA Jam doing well at all, because I thought it was going to be an arcade title, not a full-fledged game. Let's see here.
We don't need a run out of the whole list, dude.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, it looks like there's a number of games that just are not going to work well. I think about half of them will do well. But, I mean, it's going to be one of those things where it really does come down to preference. It comes down to you know, actual salary. I mean, most parents are probably only going to be able to get one or two of these games, and specifically only for the, you know, only for Christmas, and that's it. So, yeah, it's really hard to say one way or the other. There's a lot of games that are coming out that I'm like, oh, that's interesting, but it's not that interesting, because certain games I've been looking forward to for a while. And I know I'm not the only one.
Okay, since Gensage gave you most of the list, I will focus on one game in particular. Patrick mentioned it. But my reasons for thinking it's not going to do well are, again, due to the stupidity of gamers. Medal of Honor is probably going to get hammered. Mostly because everybody's either going to be calling it a Halo clone or a COD clone, yada, yada, yada. And it's just not going to get the fair shot it deserves. I'm hoping this stupid-ass Taliban, oh, you can play as the Taliban, oh, you can play as the Taliban, oh, we must panic, we must be outraged. I'm hoping that kind of breathes some life into it, because from what I saw in the multiplayer and from what I'm hearing of the single-player campaign, it's going to be a good game. I will, like I said, I will buy it. The funny thing is today I watched a couple videos on the multiplayer of COD Black Ops that was, I think, debuted last night at a pre-Penny Arcade Expo event. And it's funny because there's a lot to the COD Black Ops multiplayer, but what I find interesting about it is there's enough there that may piss off certain gamers that Medal of Honor might be saved by people who play COD Black Ops for a week or two and go, you know what, screw this, I've got this, and go back and play Medal of Honor. So we'll have to wait and see. From what I saw, the COD Black Ops multiplayer, the videos and stuff, it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to playing it, but I could see maybe going, you know, this just, I've done this before. It was my take on it to a point. But we'll have to wait and see. The other one I'll find interesting, only interesting, I don't necessarily think it's going to do bad, but I'll find it interesting, is Dead Rising 2. Because there's a lot of good games coming out so close to it that as much as Dead Rising 1 was a phenomenal hit, and as much as they're doing great marketing with this little Dead Rising XBLA title, it might take a little bit to see where that one ends up, but that's going to be kind of the key. Are we looking at like first month after release, or are we looking at into January? You know, so, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. And it was a very good discussion topic for Patrick to bring up. The bottom line is, games industry, you need to learn how to work a damn calendar. You know, Gunsage pointed out a lot of the ones, Patrick pointed out a lot of the ones, and it sucks because they all appear to be fairly good games. You know, so, but time will tell. We'll be discussing it, I'm sure, come December to see who did well and who didn't. Yada, 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 yada.
I know who's not going to do well.
Who?
Our wallets.
Yeah. Yeah. Not at all. Let's move on to news. And speaking of our wallets and lunacy run amok, this story, and I'm sure most of you who are gamers already know what we're going to talk about, but this story really didn't get me from the oh no's perspective. It got me from the human perspective. And when it comes to my turn to talk, I'll get a little bit more into that. For those of you that still don't know what I'm talking about, Xbox Live is raising its price. Now, I'm going only on the year price raise for us here in the U.S., and I do believe Canada. Why am I only going on the year price? Because if you go out and start researching this story, you will find some of the most creative, almost astrophysics-like math equations to argue pro or con of this price increase that I have ever seen. It's impossible to tell if they're valid. They're so complicated and outrageous. But here's the deal. Xbox Live is going up $10 a year. That comes out to 83 cents a month, more than you paid last year. Now, if you're stupid, you'll pay $59.99. If you're not, you either take advantage of Microsoft's offer to, if you're already a gold member, to upgrade at $39.99, or you'll go hunt up Amazon.com and find discount cards, you know, so there's obviously ways around it. Patrick, I don't care. Just give me your thoughts on this whole matter. Take it in any direction you want.
Okay, well, I have a very easy and a very clear philosophy when it comes to matters of my wallet. You basically, and it can sum it up like this. People, you get what you pay for. For example, look at the Wii. It's online is free, and it's online is garbage compared to Xbox Live Gold. And that's fine, because like I said, there's no cost. If you pay for nothing, you get nothing. If you're a Wii owner and you want something more out of this service, you have to pay for it. For example, we have the chat ability on Xbox Live, but a Wii owner has to pay for that service by purchasing Wii Speak and have an ugly shit piece of plastic in the living room. And it's only a small amount of games. So as I said, you know, gamers need to quit complaining when you get what you pay for. I don't see this as a really big deal. Prices for services always go up with inflation all the time. Xbox Live Gold has not gone up in the last few years, or more than that, I guess. So like everything else that's a service, whether it's your phone bill or your cable bill, sooner or later, it's going to go up with inflation. And now it did. It's not going to stop me from enjoying the great service. It's not going to make me start bitching about the great service for an extra dollar a month or whatever the hell it is. I don't know, $1.50, whatever. It's very little in an entire month. And, you know, with new, things going down on Xbox Live involving cameras and mics, we may potentially have even more services on Xbox Live in the near future. So, you know, you get what you pay for. That's all I got to say on this matter.
Gunsage, your turn.
Okay. You know, I just recently subscribed to Netflix. Netflix is $9.99 a month. That's basically $10 a month. $10 a month is $120 a year. Holy fuck! $120 a year! You know what? $60 a year, which is $59.99, you fucking retards, is $5 a month. You're paying $5 a month for an excellent service that works very well, has voice chat and everything built in. The only really complicated thing you have to do in some instances, is set up your router properly, and you know, you get most of the shit whenever you buy the fucking console. On top of that, it's got dedicated servers, all this. Now, I know that a lot of people like to say, well, the PC is free. Well, yeah, technically, the PC is free. But when you look at the PC, everything is basically built on the computer. So all that conversion process, everything like that, dedicated servers, blah, 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 blah. You're getting all of that for $5 a month. That's not much. And I guarantee it's much less than your internet service. So I look at this and I go, is it a pain in the ass to pay $5 a month? Well, I don't know. Is it a pain in the ass to go ahead and use the Wii's online service, the PS3's online service? Yes. So to go ahead and pay an additional $5 a month, if anything, for insurance that it actually works and works properly and you get support and everything like that, yeah, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. I really don't see what the big fucking problem is here, because you're going from, what is that? Like $5.25 or some whatever it shakes out to be what it is now versus $60. That's not that big of a jump. It's not. And it's certainly not worth complaining about. I don't get why people have to complain so much. Unless they're critics, at which point they have to complain all the time. So me, actually.
Actually, it goes from $4.16 a month to $5 a month, which is a 83¢.33333 increase. So there you go. Here's my take on it. I have multiple different directions I'm going to come at you with this. First off, I'm going to go with the, I'm not going to renew. By God, I'm not going to renew. You know, they're like the dudes from Monty Python in the rubber boots with the white towels on their head. Yeah, you're not going to renew. I literally, ladies and gentlemen, just for you, our half dozen listeners, read 5 different stories on this topic and read some of the most idiotic and moronic comments just from the people who aren't going to renew. I'm not even going to get into the PC and PSN fanboys. They're going to go out and renew. I guarantee you at least 40% of the people I saw are going to go out and quietly slough off into the night and renew, as we've talked about time and fucking time again with shit like this. You know what? If you really want to call this a travesty, that's why you get treated this way. Let me explain it to you in other industries. If a movie sucks and makes no money, that director, that producer is going to have a hard time getting work again, unless they already have a big name. So the consumer decides how a movie does, and it has far lasting effects on the people that made that movie. Same with the book. If an author does shit and doesn't sell worth the shit, his publisher's probably going to can him, and he's probably not going to get work again, or have a hard time getting work again. Same in television. Same in music. You know what one entertainment or mass media industry a lot of the time doesn't work like that? It's the fucking gaming industry. You know why it doesn't work like that? Because you have these twats who sit here and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to buy COD. I'm not going to buy the Left 4 Dead expansion game. And then they run right out and do it anyway. So that when there's no discernible drop in sales because people say one thing and turn around and do the other, the industry goes, oh, well, hell, we can do more. We could just raise up this price, give you this crap game, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, granted, there are games that have big budgets that do bomb, like I'm talking about with the other industries, but for the most part, you know, we do this to ourselves. And this isn't even an extreme case of it. I'm sorry. It's not. Xbox Live was founded in 2002, or started in 2002 at $50 a year. It is now 2010, 8 years later, and they're having their first price hike. Now, to play devil's advocate, you could look at services like Netflix, Twitter, Facebook, soon ESPN3.com, soon all the crap that goes with Kinect. And I know, there's a bunch of guys saying, I don't use any of that shit. Well, yeah, you don't, but it costs Microsoft something to offer it, and obviously people are using it or it wouldn't be on the service. You know, so I don't want to hear the outrage. I really don't want to hear it. Either pay it and shut up, or don't pay it and show them something with your wallets. don't sit here and rage on Destructoid and on Kotaku and on 1UP and then turn around and do something else because I know you little pricks are doing it. Now, with that aspect out of the way, let me get into me personally. I've only been console gaming since 2007. I bought an Xbox because most of my friends were on Xbox, and it was a cheaper deal than a PS3. The PS3 I really wouldn't have cared about either way if I just planned on playing single-player gaming. So now I am looking at a $10 a year increase to play on Xbox Live. Well, I could go get a PS3 and just get rid of my Xbox Live Gold account, but that's going to cost me roughly $400-$500. I apologize. I don't remember what the PS3s are running right now. So let's break that down over a year. That's a pretty healthy investment just to get away from a $10 a month increase. And the PSN, I mean, if I want free games and all that, I'm going to need to buy PSN Plus. But just for online gaming, I can't get that for free with the PSN. So, you know. And from people who have both, I have heard plenty of accounts that while the PSN's getting better, and probably will continue to get better, it's not as good as Xbox Live. It's just not. I'm sorry. Okay, so we have that for me to do. Or I could go back to PC gaming, like I grew up doing, and like I still, to basically a certain extent, do today with Steam. Well, if I want to do that, and I want to run Medal of Honor and COD Black Ops and Civ 5 at a decent setting, I'm not talking Uber setting that these Twitch gamers seem to think they need to have, you know, to play these games, when in reality there's a setting just down from $2,000 gaming rig that works pretty well. Well, to do that, I'm probably going to have to replace... Well, no, I know I'm going to have to replace my video card. I know I'm going to have to shit-can the memory I've got in there and get better speed memory just to get it acceptable for me. And then I'm probably going to have to do that in another year or two if I want to continue down that road, or just replace the box I've got all together and get another one. Let's just say bare minimum, I'm probably going to have to spend the same, if not a little more, as I would if I wanted to do the PS3 route. Okay, but the gaming is free online. Yeah, well, there is the cost, and that's not anything against PC gaming. I did it for years. I had no problem with upgrading and tinkering with my PCs. I just don't prefer to do it anymore. I prefer to just be able to turn on my Xbox, see Patrick's online, see Gunsage's online, you know. My point in bringing all that up is there's a lot of people, and people I actually respect and tend to agree a lot of the time with what they say, that are saying that now Xbox Live is holding online gaming hostage, that this is getting to be too much, that, you know, I may go to PC gaming from now on or PSN or whatever. And if they want to do that, that's fine. But I'm not going to let anybody fool our listening audience into thinking it's just as simple as switching from one to the other if you don't have all three already. I have a PS2, a 360, a pretty good PC, you know. So I have some options. If you only have an Xbox, you're really kind of up shit creek without a paddle. But here's the thing. It's over $10 a year. The telltale sign in this will be if this is the only price increase. $10 after 8 years of Xbox Live does not bother me that much, although I've not been on Xbox Live the whole 8 years. Now, if we only get another year, year and a half down the road, and they want to raise it again, then you have something to complain about, especially if you don't use a lot of the services such as I do. But the bottom line is, with this whole mess, is as a consumer, if you don't like it, don't spend the money. But don't sit here and rage on forum boards and call Microsoft a bunch of assholes for finally raising a service. I'm sure you probably spend more on your iPhone bill or your fancy smartphone bill than you do on Xbox Live. Personally, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to probably buy a bunch of cheap cards or find a way to upgrade because, hey, that's just being smart about it. But, and I apologize to my two other co-hosts. There was a lot I had to say. I wanted to get it said because this, the outrage to this pisses me off. Yeah, I don't like it that they're raising it $10, but you act like they're raising it $100 a month, some of you clowns. That's just ridiculous. Believe me, the telltale sign will be in a year, year and a half. Patrick, anything to add to that? Or Gunsage, go ahead. Anything to add to that? Or
sorry, I wasn't trying to cut.
No. I knew this was going to take me a long time, and I try not to do that stuff. But all of that, I felt it needed to be said. So, anything you want to add? Tear it up.
You talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to.
Well, what I was going to say was, so first off, people are complaining, well, I'm just not going to get Xbox Live. Okay, so that's you that I don't have to deal with. You've just aborted yourself off of my favorite system. On top of that, so everybody complains that they're not going to go ahead and get this and they're going to boycott this and blah, 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 blah. And yet, that's a $60 decision. Now, I don't know about you, but if I say, you know what, I probably won't go ahead and get it, then there's a good chance that I'm not going to get the game. It doesn't matter if it's content or whatever reason I have. If I say I'm not going to get it, I'm probably not going to get it. Versus what you were saying earlier as far as if a director makes a really shitty movie and they're not known, that's a $15 movie ticket versus a $60 game. When you get into the literals there, that is four times the amount of profit for every single last motherfucker who turns tailcoat at the last minute. I mean, really, really now. That's some bullshit. I guess it's more a cost management thing because I know that it costs a lot more to make a Hollywood movie than it does a game. Even the really, really expensive games. It still takes more to make most movies than it does games. So I guess that would be one sign of it. But seriously, that's the reason why we keep on getting bullshit. So, yeah, that's about it.
Patrick, anything to add to all that yammering I did?
Not a lot. I agree with most everything you guys have said. It's a tiny increase. And like I said, you know, you get what you pay for. These people who say they're not going to pay for it, we'll see them on Xbox Live very soon.
I tell you, if nothing else, I feel better because the minute I read about that price hike. I mean, and that's the thing. I have a background in economics and business and my education. And so it's you're right. You want to start shooting formulas up my ass? Yeah, don't give me that crap. Everything costs something. You're going to make a Switch. Everything costs something, folks. There ain't nothing truly free in gaming. Sorry. If you like what you use, then use it. If you don't like what Xbox Live is doing, then don't do it. But don't slough off at the last minute and go, oh, I'm going to do it because my buddy Billy Bob's on there. You're a fucking prick. And you're the reason we get treated like this. Okay, the next story is a little happier and one that I'm kind of looking forward to Patrick responding to. comes to us from Game Informer. Peter Bohr, who's been in the business a long time, is president of EA Sports. He did this very long interview with The Edge magazine, which is a UK publication. There's just one little thing I want to discuss in this. I found it very interesting. He did talk about whether he thought the next set of consoles would have digital delivery or not. That's kind of interesting. But what I found the most interesting is maybe there'll be a really big hard drive next time. It's hard to see how much better we can get from a graphical fidelity realm, realism perspective, though. Nintendo took a lot of people by surprise with Wii. We're going to have fun. You don't even get arms or legs on some of your characters. Do you want to connect online? We don't have that. Do you want to watch HD media? We don't have that either, he said. The future may not be about cutting-edge tech. It may simply be about unique experiences. Now, I cut and pasted and paraphrased some of that. His basic sentiment is, look at the Wii sales. Look at how good graphics already are. It's probably not going to be about pretty. It's going to be about, you know, the experience. Patrick, do you agree or disagree with Peter Moore?
You know, I kind of disagree now that I've experienced some things. To be honest, you can have the best of both worlds. It's really interesting that Peter Moore, as we know, former head of Xbox 360 division or whatever the hell he was, his title was, you know, now he's saying graphics are almost reaching a peak, right? That he doesn't think that they're going to get much more realistic. And like you said, we're going to have fun and you don't even have to have arms or legs, right? basically what he's doing there, and it's kind of interesting, is this is seriously the exact same message that the president of Nintendo, whose name I can never pronounce, the Japanese dude, gave investors back at the end of Nintendo GameCube cycle. It's like he's copying the exact same thing, only now it's a generation later, you know? He stated graphics are, they no longer matter. Simplicity is the key. And he was right. This generation, you know? He was right on the money. But I don't think he's right on the money with now, because, he just seems to be regurgitating the exact same statements only a generation later. And graphics can only get so much better, so Moore is correct in that stance. I don't think next generation graphics are going to be a huge difference. Hopefully it won't be all 3D crap anyways. But so he's probably right on that side. But one thing we've not seen yet is how the simplicity and fun, or at least most of us have not seen yet, is how the simplicity and fun and casual gameplay, how they can work on a very powerful system. So maybe the combination of both simple methods and the power of a true next-gen system will be the future. So I really think the best of both worlds is what I think how it's going to work next generation. I don't think we're going to go and be really simple next-gen.
Take it away, Gunsage.
All right, here's the way I have to look at it. So recently there was this Scott Pilgrim game that came out, and there's a lot of Wii titles that they're not really keeping up as far as the graphics, but they're still innovating. They're not necessarily innovating by use of more waggle and things of that nature, but they but they are still innovating all the same. So that's two games. But, like, No More Heroes 2 and Scott Pilgrim. And then we have Final Fantasy 13. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Yes, Final Fantasy 13 is visually impressive. They did try to innovate. They tried to innovate in a way they didn't need to. I really think they made a lot of mistakes in that one. And that's just more a thing of coincidence, if anything. It doesn't have to do with the fact that it was visually impressive, obviously. It's not like they went ahead and went, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a Mona Lisa painting and then do absolutely nothing fucking else. I understand that. I do. But I'm looking at it and I'm going, all right, so it looks pretty. It sounds pretty. Is this all they're banking on, though? Did they make the new white engine to go ahead and try to promote something that doesn't really work, that wasn't really tested with core audiences, especially people who were previous Final Fantasy fans? I mean, what are they doing here? So you got a lot of people, reviewers especially, that are going, well, it's the most breathtaking thing I've ever seen, and blah, 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 blah. 9 out of 10. And meanwhile, I'm sitting here going, did you play the game or did you watch the game? If you watch the game, oh, yeah, it looks really impressive. But if you played the game, then you would be pretty fucking pissed off, especially if you were a former Final Fantasy fan, going, what the fuck is this goddamn gameplay bullshit? Meanwhile, you have a game like Scott Pilgrim, and me and Bruce are going to disagree on this, and that's fine. With me, like I was saying previously, it's River City Ransom on crack. I am a huge Brawler fan. I miss the Brawler genre. I'm sad that it's gone. I know it can make a comeback if they really want it to, but it probably will not. They've kind of moved on. You know, it's kind of been alluded to in certain action titles. But the reason why I really like it is because they tried to do an old school thing as far as the pixel art and everything like that. And for that, I appreciated it because I miss the days where you had graphics like that, where it was more based on, you know, what they were working with at the time. Now, granted, they were obviously using superior technology because otherwise they couldn't go ahead and put that many characters on screen at a time. But then I could easily just as easily reference games like Mega Man 9 or 10. So, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm going, there will always be an old-school niche, at least to a point. I remember in one show where I was talking about I'm a little worried that at some point those will kind of end, because it'll no longer really appeal to anyone at all. But I do agree that eventually over time, there will no longer be a retro niche. It won't really happen. Like, the retro niche will be something along the lines of the PlayStation 1 graphics. So you'll see some games that are like, oh, we're retro, and it looks like Final Fantasy VII or something. And I'll be looking at it going, no, you're not retro, you're just a couple of generations back. All the same, it is more important for the industry to innovate rather than go ahead and make look pretty. There will always be people that are trying to make it look prettier, and in various ways. You've got games like Katamari Damacy alone that prove shit like that. I mean, they're trying to go ahead and make it look prettier from an artistic angle, not a, this looks more photorealistic, this looks more lifelike, this looks more Crysis 2 competition worthy, you know. I look at this and I go, I appreciate and enjoy it whenever a game has really high quality graphics, but that alone is not going to sell a game to me, at the very least.
It's funny, I'd like having Patrick on the show for this reason. I never took it, of course I didn't hear what Miyamoto had to say either.
Oh, it wasn't Miyamoto, it was, what's his name, Sir? No, the president.
Oh, yeah. Either way, I never even took it as that. I boiled this down pretty easy, and Gunsage actually started to nail it at the end of his. All Peter Moore is saying is graphics are getting to the point, they're so advanced now, that to innovate, it's going to have to be about the story, and it's going to have to be about experience. And I hope to God he is right. Now, he has been in this industry long enough that I would like to think he has a better sense of the overall industry and where it's heading than some people do. Michael Pratchard. Yeah, right. Huh. So my hope is that while the graphics are always going to be good, that they will spend less time worrying about the character models looking like some guy walking down the street when you're walking down the street, and more time focusing on the story and the experience. Because in a way, whether you like to bash the Wii or not, really that's what it does. And that's kind of what hooks kids in. They're having fun with the experience. They don't give a shit about what it looks like. And to a point, whether we like to admit it or not, so do we. We like to try and deny it because we're grown up now. We need artsy, fartsy stuff. No, I still love a good story. I still love a fun experience. And so I'm hoping in this case Moore's right. You know, it doesn't mean that we're going to, you know, for those of you out there panicking, running around in circles, it doesn't mean we're going to have Wii graphics next generation and that it's going to regress. Although I personally think all three coming out with Wii-like graphics and motion controls would be fucking hilarious just to see what would happen. You know, so, but there you go. Okay, next story. And this kind of, I've been a little sneaky, I suppose you could say. This kind of ties in with our first story. Now, Sony at IFA 2010, which was an event in Berlin. Basically, they're going to have a music service coming to the PS3 and PSP later this year. First thing I want to say is iTunes competitor? Come on, it's like the World of Warcraft thing. You know, I don't think, hopefully, Sony's not stupid enough to try and compete with iTunes. iTunes has its place. This, to me, is going to be more like a better version or maybe a more a version with more options of Zune or Last.fm on the Xbox. But this story in the music service I don't give a shit about particularly. But this got me to thinking. Now, Sony's always kind of been the middle bastard child in the console market as far as service and game catalog and this and that. But if you look heading into 2011, there are games that are coming out. The fact that the Move is getting positive reviews, the fact that they have the PSN Plus for people who want to buy it, but yet still the basic PSN is free to play games. And this music service, adding a little bit more window dressing to the whole service. Patrick, my question is with all of that mentioned, do you think that 2011 is going to be Sony's year?
Well, it's hard to say. I think they definitely... It won't be Sony's year in a way that they're going to blow the competition away, because I think there's great stuff on all systems. But if you want to call it Sony's year compared to every year they've had so far with the PlayStation 3, I will definitely agree to that. I think they have patiently set themselves up with a lot of good titles, like you said, and a lot of good services, so that in 2011, they're going to have the move, which, like you said, is getting positive reviews, which is surprising and good. And with all the new things they have, so like I was saying, I think it's not going to blow everyone away from that perspective, but it's going to do really well. It's going to be the best year for the PlayStation 3, no doubt.
Gunsage, your take.
So, let's see here. I mean, it seems like they're trying to do kind of what Xbox Live is sort of kind of doing here with the whole Last.fm thing. Is that right, or are they having it where you can actually...
We're not talking about the service per se. I'm just... Oh. My question was, and I'll repeat it again for you, with them adding window dressings like this, with a good catalog of games coming along, with more titles being added next year, with Move getting good reviews and looking like it's a working tech, is next year going to be Sony's year to shine?
No. Sad to say, I really wish Sony would do a little bit better because I love the PS2, but this is the way I look at it. I'm standing by this until they can prove me wrong, and they're really going to have to try hard at this point to prove me wrong. The PS2 did well because it was a DVD player. The PS1 did well because it was the first technical CD-based system that actually did well. The Saturn did okay, but everything up to that point besides a computer did not do well in the CD market. Sony is more or less just really fucking lucky for two generations, and now suddenly they're trying to tackle Blu-ray and nobody gives a flying fuck ass. I'm looking at this and I'm going, you can have the best lineup possible. It's not going to top the Xbox Live's current lineup, future lineup, or the fact that we have the biggest library so far. Yes, Xbox Live's prices are going up. Yes, the fact that Xbox Live has a price at all is kind of disconcerting. But again, you get what you pay for. Everybody is paying $60 for the games brand new, except for the Wii. And it has its limitations in a variety of ways, so it's kind of one of those either-or. It's really sad that in this generation, the PS3 is actually coming out last. And it's only coming out last under something that is appealing to soccer moms. That is ridiculous. I don't think they're going to get any better with the PlayStation Move, and I don't think they're going to get any better with this bullshit either.
Be interesting to see, because I think you're wrong. I think this will be Sony's year. Look, first off, there's no console war, so go fuck yourselves. That's for stupid fanboys. And really, at this point in the life cycle, there's no taking the number one spot. There's no, you know, this and that. But I think this will be the year that we talk predominantly about Sony doing extremely well, that their services and catalog all start to mesh and all start to approach the same quality, if not meet eye to eye with the same quality as Xbox Live. That said, I want to send out a message to Sony. You know what did that? You know what did that, boys at Sony? It wasn't Marcus, that stupid little fuck. It wasn't Kevin Butler. And your idiotic attacks on everything that moves. No, it was the fact that you finally are producing products and services that people want, that I'm actually interested in, that I'm actually interested in seeing how you do. It wasn't your arrogance. It wasn't your smugness. It wasn't your stupid ads that make me want to destroy my TV every time I see one on. It's the fact that you're actually finally putting together a whole package, which is good. This is good for gamers. Competition is always good, because I think by the end of 2011, you're going to see the Xbox and Microsoft maybe singing a little different tune on some small things. And anything we get back financially or service-wise without a shit ton of new fees is a good thing. My sincere hope is the next generation, we have three healthy consoles competing against each other, so that no matter which console you decide to choose coming up, you get a good product and a good service, and it's not one lagging behind, or yet you almost have to own two to get anything done, so to speak. But I'm telling you, I could be wrong. Gunsage could end up being right. And I mean, they had this problem a little bit with the PS2 in the early days. There were people taking the GameCube over that. I'm telling you, I'm seeing enough signs that their products and service, not that the Marcus PSP campaigns, well, let's not even talk about the PSP because its ass is going to get left in ruins by the 3DS. It'll be interesting, an interesting year. And Patrick's got it right to a point that, yeah, it's not going to overwin the console wars. I mean, to Sony fanboys, that was already won. But I think this is going to be the year that they actually have a really good, solid total package. We shall see with our last news story, how long will Sony's PS3 total package be around? This story annoyed me. Annoyed me, and I hope it comes back to bite the company that's talking about it in the ass. I'm not even going to read the story. It came from 1UP. The headline is basically The headline is Ubisoft cautious about new IPs until next generation of consoles. Now, if you recall, both Ubisoft and I think one other keep screaming this mantra that there will be new next gen, there will be new next gen, there will be new next gen, that these peripherals aren't going to hold it, these peripherals aren't going to hold it. Well, this whole story is basically a bunch of market speak and business bullshit from one of their guys over in their Europe division saying that Ubisoft is going to wait until the next generation of consoles because it makes more sense to release IPs when things are fresh and new and yada, yada, yada. And I think personally it's going to bite them in the ass because this generation is going to last long enough to release a new IP and then carry it over into the next generation. If it does well, give you a little bit of chance to experiment. Patrick, do you agree with Knucklehead from Ubisoft, or do you think, like I do, that now is a good time to release a new IP just to see what it does?
Yes. I mean, I can see where they're coming from, but I think, like you were saying, the lifespan of these consoles definitely is not going to be a couple years. I think the next-gen consoles, their life cycle will be extended with some of the new stuff coming. I'd love to see companies making all new franchises very often, if not all the time, with maybe one sequel here and there, and new ideas and new gameplay. But, you know, to kind of give this guy a bit of credit, it's just not realistic for them to take such a massive risk all the time. Now, that doesn't mean that everything they do should be a sequel, but they should at least, you know, have some money in the bank, some guaranteed sequels that they, you know, they don't have to advertise. They don't have to spend money for a new engine, stuff like that. So a little bit I understand what they're saying, but it is cheaper and faster than creating all new engine. But at the same time, it's lazier than creating a new engine. And people are going to get sick of it if this generation, which I think it will, of next generation consoles extends longer than they think. I don't know. I say they still have quite a few years left in them, the PlayStation 3 and the 360. And it's probably going to bite them in the ass when they have the fifth and sixth, whatever they have, Tom Clancy game or whatever. People are going to get bored. The only system I think I might agree with them changing pretty quick is the Wii. You know, I think that they're going to wake up to see the competition has a lot of good stuff, which I won't talk about. But you know, as much as I'd love to agree with you that this guy's a knucklehead and that this guy's talking out his ass, I'm 50-50 on it, really, because I see where he's coming from. But definitely, I agree that if they keep putting out all these damn sequels, we're going to get bored of them.
Gunsage, do you think this guy's right and they're smart to hold off on new IPs until the next console crop, or do you think I'm right and that launching a new IP now would be smart because it gives them a chance to experiment for the next generation of consoles?
Well, the last generation, Ubisoft went ahead and picked up Prince of Persia. They went ahead and did Sands of Time. They did all that different shit. It was a mega success. On this current console, it has not done very well. Assassin's Creed has been very hit and miss. Either you love it or you fucking hate it. There really is no middle ground as far as that goes. Beyond that, they continued on with the Tom Clancy games, which in my opinion did get a little bit better as far as, at the very least, Splinter Cell. but they don't seem to do a whole lot else. Ubisoft also holds titles for things like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They re-released the arcade version for Xbox Live Arcade. It did pretty well. They went ahead and did the reshelled thing. It didn't do so well, which was kind of a letdown. But I look at it and I go, you know, if they really wanted to experiment, they should do more Xbox Live Arcade stuff. Because they would make the most amount of money by releasing a new IP now as far as a major game. But if they're really that cautious, that timid, that worried about everything else that's going on, okay, stick to your guns as far as the major games. Go ahead and release more and more arcade titles. At least there you can charge $10 or $15 and still make a profit. They're also the ones that paired with Universal to go ahead and do the Scott Pilgrim game. So I look at it and I go, they're not doing a bad job. It's just that certain games are starting to slowly fall into a niche category. Not everybody likes Tom Clancy games. And most people only like certain Tom Clancy games if they like them at all. On top of that, Assassin's Creed is very divided. Prince of Persia is getting to the point where you might like it, but that's as far as it will go. Literally, the last two Prince of Persia games have not been brilliant. So I'm looking at it, I'm going, here's to hoping that the new Rayman game does really well. Here's to hoping that they'll make Brotherhood a success, even though they probably won't be getting my money, because I'm starting to get Assassin's Creed out, if you can believe that. Beyond that, the last really good game they made was Scott Pilgrim, in my opinion. So I look at it and I go, well, wait a minute, that was only $10 on Xbox Live. You know you're going to get people to buy that fucking shit. Why don't you go ahead and start experimenting more with the, you know, $10, $15 game mark on an Xbox Live PlayStation Network? That would make more sense to me, at least for now.
Here's the problem. These developers, I think, to a point with these stories, are trying to push the console makers into releasing a new generation. Now, as I see it, as far as this generation goes, Sony still needs to make some money on the PS3 before they can start worrying about the PS4. Microsoft, I think, with these new slims, has finally gotten the chipset equation figured out, so they could be ready to move on, depending on how Kinect does. And Nintendo, I'm not even going to guess. If they're happy with their formula they got now, they may not be the first out of the gate like some people think. But still, even with developers like Ubisoft trying to push, I think this generation is going to be around for another couple, 3 years. And it could be an awesome time to experiment with a new IP that you think is going to come out of the gate screaming and have plenty of sequels. I think trying to hedge your bets and hope developer or hope game, console makers will do what you want is kind of stupid. The thing I hadn't thought about, though, and that Gunsage nails absolutely correct, is, hey, if you're that nervous about it, release a couple sequels to something. How about give me a new Rainbow Six game? I loved Vegas, both of them. How about give me a new Rainbow Six. It's the one time where I agree with Gabe from Penny Arcade. Cover is king. Don't need a cover system in everything I do, but I need it in Rainbow Six. Hell, give me a Rainbow Six arcade game. And Gunsage is right. If you're this goddamn leery of releasing a new IP, afraid that the Xbox 1080 is coming out next, then do some Xbox Live titles. Gunsage has got it right. But I think this notion that, oh, we must be careful because the new generation of consoles is just right around the corner. Yeah, I think the companies that make consoles kind of disagree with you, just slightly. That has been news. And according to the recording monitor, sorry, folks, no Wonderstalgia this week. We will get you another one next week or possibly, well, as soon as Halo Reach is out and we're all playing, it's probably going back to Gamer Dick. But we have not forgot about Wonderstalgia, and when time permits, we will keep doing them. Patrick, we have yammered on, especially me, enough this week. It's prostitute row time. Give it to him.
All right. I'm all dressed up in my nice little whore outfit. I am on the street corner. Listen up, people. We have quite a few ways to become part of WonderPod. One great thing to do, tell your friends, tell your enemies, I don't care who you tell, is to check out iTunes and check out WonderPod. We are there and we would really like your subscription. If you like us, send a nice little review of us there at the bottom. It helps out on random searches. We are also, of course, on Facebook. We got a couple new people, I think last week or within the last few days. So thank you for joining up on Facebook. We are WonderPod Online. So check that out. Search for us. Send us a request. We will accept anything because we are whores. Also, although I've been a little distracted with things I really shouldn't mention, we do have videos on YouTube and even on Dailymotion, although no one seems to go to Dailymotion. So just search for WonderPod there. We have some old episodes if you've joined us recently, and we have some of the newer ones. I promise to get back and make a new one pretty soon. Aside from that, of course, the Morphing Nation, projectwonderboy.morphingnation.com. There's all sorts of great content on there, including WonderPod content and an official thread of WonderPod in the forums. I think that's about all I can think of right now on ways to contact us and become part of the party.
Here's the thing, people. I know there are at least 17 to 30 of you listening per week. We would be happy if you just told us we sucked, or told us something you wanted to hear, or told us segments you liked. I mean, come on. That's really all I'm asking. And the final way you can get a hold of us is at this email address. It's morphinenation23@gmail.com. morphinenation23@gmail.com. Until episode 34, which will hopefully be less about finances and fiscal problems, I am Bruce McGee. I'll be down on the street corner whoring myself out for new games. I'm out of here.
Goodbye.
Atheism, a non-profit organization.
Unlike Scientology. Take it away, Gunsage. All right, now I'll go.
All righty.
Fuck off. you talked long enough. I could have took a dump while you were at it.
Hey, here's if you need to take a dump, I can keep going.
No, shut up. Just shut up. No, I'm kidding.